Received a phone call this morning, and I was out picking up a cake, so I didn't talk to them, but I called back. A man in the middle of the night from northern Minnesota was having heart trouble. Prayed with him, and then I asked him a question. I said, "What's your mind doing to you in the middle of the night?" How many have ever been sick? How many has ever been what you think was kind of serious? What does that do to your mind? And what do you think about? And how do you control those thoughts? And how much of that is of the devil? And so Thursday morning, I woke up just quick. Boom, I was awake. And going through my spirit was just three words: resist the devil. Resist the devil. The devil's not a figment of your imagination. The devil wasn't just around so people could make movies about demons. He wasn't around so we could have an exorcist made. He comes to destroy us. And probably 95% or maybe even bigger than that is in your mind. And what he comes to do is he tries to get us to take ownership of the thoughts he's putting in your head. He's there to trap you. Now keep in mind something. As a Christian, you cannot allow your mind to become the devil's playground. But we do. We hear heart, we hear kidneys, we hear this, we hear that. And it's amazing if you just allow those thoughts to stay in your mind, what they do to you. Because pretty soon we take ownership of them, and we're going out and buying our casket, and we're going to plan our funerals, and we got all this stuff going on, and God is saying, "Hey, time out. Let me show you some scriptures." First one's found in James chapter 4. Just one little verse. Very, very important verse. But just one verse. And if you can take hold of this and believe that God is sharing his word with you today from his Bible, it'll change your life. I've been working on it. I've woken up in the middle of the night when Dr. Shirati says, "Hey, you got some kidney issues and this and that." And Dr. Judy says the next thing is dialysis and all this stuff going on. It's amazing what happens to your head. Verse number 7. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil," and he'll do what? What does the word flee mean? Not just a little bug. It means he's going to get out of there. Resist the devil, but first of all, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at this. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil." Now keep in mind, the devil's not your friend. The death that he brings is not your friend. The Bible says the last enemy to be defeated is death. Avoid death. I love the way you're shouting. I'm not freaking out, but I hear people say, "Oh, it's wonderful they die." No, death is your enemy. "Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may," do what? Bless? What does devour mean? He's going to try to chew you up and spit you out. Resist him. Listen to me. Look at me. Whenever something enters your mind that's contrary to the Word of God, don't embrace it. Resist it. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brothers in the world. Number one, James tells us, submit yourself to God. What's he talking about? How many of you ever picked up the Bible and read something you didn't like it, so you just... I'm not accepting that. It might be talking about pride. It might be talking about issues. It might be talking about love, like love your pastor. Boom, there you close it. I ain't loving that jerk. God, you got to have bad taste to put him here. No. The word submit means to place yourself under. It means to give yourself to. It talks about the fact that you are surrendering your life to God. Now, here's the deal. I'm not picking on you today, but I'm just going to tell you the deal. How many of you want to go to heaven instead of going to hell? We want to go to heaven instead of going to hell, but we want to get there our way. We want to get there the way we designed, we planned, we just want to do it our way. We're like old Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And so we live our life, we walk, we talk, we do the things we want to do. We have all these things going on, but it's just my way. And God says, time out. I love you. I'm crazy about you. I want you with me. But will you just take time to listen? How can we hear God at times when we never shut up? Oh, I'm sorry.
Shouldn't have said that.
How can we hear God through our panic and our things we're going through and all the stuff that's happening? How can we hear what God is saying? And if we did hear, would we pay attention? Because we got it all figured out. Hello. I just love the way you're shouting. But I'll tell you what, you listen to me and I'll buy you lunch afterwards. And so we walk this out, our own way, our own thing. And we wonder, why doesn't God just bail us out when things go wrong? Can I tell you something? God's not your bail bondsman. How many of you have ever had people or children that just would never do what you told them? They always did it their way. But whenever they got in trouble, where'd they go? And so God just didn't come to rescue us. God came to deliver us from the bondage. So don't go back. Don't keep going back. There comes a time we have to learn, I'm going to give myself to God. I find that out going to jail every week. Every week. Oh, you're back. What happened? Well, I went out and did the same thing. You did what? Well, you know, I just got out, and one guy was out for 2 days and got picked up for his third or fourth DUI. I said, what? You were the guy that had the plan. You were the guy that was going to make it. You were the guy that wasn't going to come back. Yeah, now I'm going to the big house for 4 years or 5 years. Going south. Submit to God. Give your life to God. Walk it out. What's insanity, Kirk? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Yeah. So God says, submit yourself. Purpose to make your life like His. Purpose to walk in the Holy Spirit. I was listening to Stephen this morning on the radio. Purpose that there's more than just salvation. Purpose that there's more in life than just what I want, what I'm going to do. My pleasure, my will, my car, my life, my home. And God says, if you want it, I guess you can have it. So we come to a place where we start focusing, God, what is your will? Submit to God. And then he gives a second point. And this is going to get a little heavy, but just hang on. He says, resist the devil. Too many people coexist with Satan. Too many Christians. And you say, oh, I'm not a bad... No, you might not be a bad person, but Satan can be living in your mind. There can be an oppression. There can be a bondage where our thought process is not spiritually rational. I want you to understand something. You may be rational in thought process in the minds of the world, but it's irrational to God if all we're afraid of and all we're concerned about is the fear and what's going wrong and what's going to happen in our lives. The word resist is very interesting. I moved, I'm sorry. The word resist, and I'm going to read it to you. The word resist means to stand against or stand in opposition. It means being fiercely opposed to Satan and resisting him, determined to defy his operations. That means I don't let people speak satanic thoughts into my mind. You say, what are you talking about? When people are throwing things at you from the devil, don't embrace them. We're opposed to what Satan is doing. He's the enemy of our soul. He wants to destroy you and your family and your marriage and your job and everything about you. We don't coexist with that. We get rid of it. Resist him. I wrote down some things that Satan wants to tell you, and if he's telling you this, just break it down. Fact is, it just happened as I was going through some of the books this morning. I come across some stuff. Here's some of the things that he says to you. You are in a mess because of your dumb mistakes. You're paying for your past. You're in this mess with your children because you're a terrible parent. You're reaping what you sowed, and there's no way to get out of it. Now, show me in the Bible where any of these things are true. He'll tell you everything you touch falls apart, so you're foolish to be alive. He'll lie to you and tell you you're better off dead, and so is your family. He tells you you'd be better, your family would be better off without you because you're just a mess. I was preaching in Napa, Idaho. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. And I said, there's a lady here tonight. You're contemplating suicide, and you would have killed yourself by now, but you're too much of a coward. After church, the pastor came up to me and said, well, there was a lady that came up, and we prayed for her, and God broke the bondage. The pastor came up after church and looked at me and said, "You know, that lady's mad at me." I said, "What?" "She just came up for prayer. She's mad because she told me the exact words that you said." The exact words. And she said, "He couldn't have known it unless you would have told him." No. God's a tattletale, as Angie says. But we, you know, most of us would not go out and get drunk. Most of us would not go out and have an affair. Most of us would not go do a lot of things physically that we see and that we know is sin. But many of us allow the enemy to play with our minds. How many of you today, and just think about it, how many of you today that are living on fixed incomes, as the devil told you, you're not going to survive this economic crisis? Where'd he get that from? How many of us, as he said, if you'd been a little more frugal, you wouldn't be in debt. You'd be okay. You spend too much. Where'd he get that from? You know the sad part of it is? We start believing it. How many of your spouse is unsaved have said, if you'd have been a better spouse, your husband or your wife would be Christians? Not. No. And so over and over and over again, he plays with our minds. What's his purpose? To destroy you. He wants you dead. I wonder how many farmers thought after the wheat harvest, if I'd have been a good farmer, I would have had a better harvest. You know, things he just keeps piling on and piling on. You know what he's doing? He's hoping something will stick. He's hoping one thing will stick so that he can get a foothold in your mind and destroy you. Now, the Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. We're aware of what he's doing. So if we're aware of what he's doing in 2 Corinthians 2:5, I believe it is, or 2:10, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. And walk out this life in Christ. Are we okay? How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you have experienced some of this stuff? Stand up with me right now. If you've gone through some mental stuff, just stand. Just raise your hands. The Bible says we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak breakthrough spiritually in the minds of all of us. In Jesus' name, the lies and the deception of Satan must be broken. Now, in the name of Jesus, and I speak peace into people's lives. I speak peace into people's minds. I break the deception. Satan, you're uncovered. In the name of Jesus, right now, just say, I'm free. My mind belongs to God. It's renewed by the Holy Spirit. I do not receive any longer the accusations, the lies, the deception of Satan. Every oppressive spirit, you must go now in Jesus' name. I am free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give him a hand to clap. Give him a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. Shout out hallelujah. Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. I'm preaching to me. And you. Now listen. I was sitting in my chair last night. And God just began to speak about the church. I'm not even going to go into it. I'll tell you someday. As it comes to pass, I'll tell you what he showed me. Because there's some amazing things going to be happening. I believe with all my heart. I started to pray in a new language. Never, ever prayed in that language before. And I walked out to my car to get in. I couldn't remember it. I was going to pray in tongues all the way home in that language because I knew God was doing something inside of me. I got in my car and I got down to the stop sign down here and I couldn't remember what it was. I said, okay, God. But this morning I woke up and it was there again. He's making his people strong. He's making me stronger for a purpose. Because I found out in my few years of being alive, just a few years, that the closer you get to God, the more resistance Satan wants to bring. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so let us be the resistors instead of allowing that voice, those thoughts, those lies to keep coming. Let us resist that. Because we know, and you've heard me say it, and I've said it to other people, and I need to apply it to me now. Satan's a liar. Who believes a liar? It just doesn't work. I'm going to close with this. I got a lot more here. But the Bible says something here that is so vital in 1 Peter 5. He says, resist him in the faith. Resist him in the faith. Learn when Satan starts sowing this dumb stuff in your mind, start throwing back at him the word of God. When you're opposed, when you're standing against it, when you're in that battle, when people are even saying things to you, and you know and you need to know when people are talking to you, you need to understand when it's not of God. I don't care if it's me or anybody else. If it's not of God, if it doesn't line up with the word, reject it, resist it. Because I want you to know Satan has a knack of even using Christians to speak negative things into your life. Like somebody told me this week, we're going to have 200 inches of snow this winter. What a negative, rotten thing. I resist that in the name of Jesus. And whoever told Kirk, oh, I won't tell you who said it. And so we get all this stuff. And you know, it keeps piling up and piling up and piling up until it just kind of overwhelms us. But the Bible says, be strong in the Lord, in Ephesians 6:10, in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the schemes, the devices, the lies, and I'm paraphrasing it, of the devil. I understand something. I understand as we get older, there's places we have pain where we never even thought we had body parts. I understand that. I'm looking to see if somebody's walking beside me and kicking me in the shins or kicking me somewhere with all this stuff going on. You know, we it's true. You'll find out, Halbert, someday. But you know, if we succumb to that, Friday night we went to Rosholt and I was working with the conference and with the state to do a jamboree and evaluation of football referees. And I was sore. I was in a little bit of pain. But after the game, or during halftime, they were talking to the crew and found out that they don't have anybody to ref this Friday night. So right away they said, well, Dwight, can you do it? And I was going to say no. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. I'll run up and down that field or get in my wheelchair and go. Whatever it takes. But it's coming to a place where we need to realize that we can stand in Christ Jesus against every lie, against every deception, against everything Satan is throwing at us, and we are not overcome by what's going on. We are overcomers. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your loins girded about with truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. That fiery dart is very interesting. I read a while back that the Roman soldiers, when they first started, had leather shields. And they'd wet them down. They'd wet them down before battle. That when that arrow of the enemy, that fiery arrow, would hit them, the dampness in the shield would put out the fire. But we need to be damp in the Holy Ghost. Walking in the shield of faith. Letting that extinguish everything the enemy is throwing at you. Now the Bible says this, and I'm done. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That word stronghold, and you'll find it in the New King James, I think you'll find it in the King James, I'm not sure what the NIV uses, means a prison. There are people who've been incarcerated by their thoughts. There are people who've been taken captive by the Satan and imprisoned. And you have the power, and I have the power to pull those prison bars, doors out and be free. Don't be taken captive. Because once Satan gets a hold, there's more and more and more. It's a little bit like walking with God. The more we walk with God, there's more. The more people walk with the devil, there's more. More deception, more lies, more demonic activity, more demonization, and that's what the word means for demon-possessed in the Bible. It doesn't talk about necessarily being possessed. The Greek word is demonized. They're taken captive. And it needs to be broke. You know something? God's crazy about us. And you wouldn't want to see your best friend incarcerated by some power of some other person. You don't want to see them controlled by someone else. God doesn't want to see his children mentally controlled by the devil. He wants you free. He wants you walking in power. He wants you walking in glory. And he comes to make that happen in your life. Praise God. So let's stand on this week. Let's stand on this afternoon. Because you'll be tested. You'll be tested to see if that's really where you want to be. And as you're tested, God will be proven faithful. Raise your hands with me and let's just praise him.